way of introduction, my wife is here. Just stand up, Brookie. Just show everyone how beautiful you are. Come on, just stand up. There we are. Wow. Woo! Wow. Oh, gorgeous woman. My family, this is my little family coming up here on the screen in a moment. This is my family. This down here is Isla, and then we have Akaya, which we call Kiki, and this is Ivy, and woo, amazing woman in the middle there. That was Mother's Day this year. So that's my family. We started a church 18 months ago, just coming up almost 2 years, and God has just been so good to us. And I've really come to the conclusion after many years of ministry, maybe 30 years of being in full-time ministry, and that is that God is all about his word. When the word is preached, Jesus is preached. When we preach Jesus, everything makes sense. And so I am just so much in love with the word of God, because the Bible says in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. Jesus is the word. You know, you can go to 1,000 counseling sessions, you can go to therapists, all of those things are great. But it's only the word of God that changes us. It's only the word of God. And I am so passionate about understanding the word of God in its original context. Not just the Greek and the Hebrew, but what did the listeners, when Jesus was on the Sermon on the Mount, when he was preaching his famous sermon, his first sermon, his introductory sermon to who he is and what he's here to do. When he preached that first sermon, he went so much into what it is to understand the word, to understand the Bible, to understand the law. And it all comes back to the heart. Everything comes back to the heart. And I know that as we work through the word today and we talk about this tricky subject, and I know you're in a series about relationships right now. Today we're talking about divorce. Wow. Whew. I've been divorced. My wife has been divorced. We've walked through the heartache of it. And I know that I would say almost everyone in this room in some way has been touched by divorce. Whether it's been a family member, whether it's been yourself, whether it's been your children. We've all been touched by divorce in some way. And I think that when we understand what the scripture says about divorce, because when I got divorced, the first thing I went to was, what does the Bible say? Like, is there condemnation in this? Am I doing the right thing? Is what I'm going through biblically sound? I don't want to get to heaven and realize that I had messed up my entire life because of a bad decision, or being a part of, you know, being someone who has left me. And so today we're going to dig so deep into this, and I believe that today, church, today is going to bring some people freedom in Jesus' name. It is for freedom that Christ has come to set us free. Why did Jesus come? For freedom. Jesus did not come for condemnation. He didn't come to burn the sinners. He didn't come to burn the broken. Jesus came to bring healing, forgiveness, wholeness, restoration. And I think when we look at the word, when we look at Jesus through this lens, whew, people are going to get set free. Amen? Amen? Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that, Lord, you are an awesome God. Lord, we honor you. We bless you. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor that is deserving of that beautiful name, name that is above every other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. So Lord, as we come around the word today, let Jesus be exalted. Lord, every word that is from me, let it fall to the ground and not take root in people's hearts. Every word that is from heaven, Lord, let it change, challenge us, transform us, convict us with no condemnation, and bring us into the likeness of your Son. Lord, I pray that every person in this room today would leave a little bit more in love with him, would leave just a little bit more in love with the word of God, and that, Lord, your word would come alive and bear fruit in every life in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. So today, as you know, we're speaking about divorce. And for many years, divorce has been it's been a taboo subject. We're doing Sermon on the Mount right now and in our church. And I preached the first one about the Beatitudes, and I felt really kind of rushed. So then I thought, I'm just going to preach the entire Sermon on the Mount, but we're going to break it up into sections. We've been going since January. And next weekend is my last weekend preaching on Sermon on the Mount. And we went through all of the subjects. We talked about adultery. We had a full service about murder. A full service about lust. A full service about anger. A full service about all of these things. And we did a full service about divorce. And I tell you, it was a message that I was not concerned about preaching, but I knew would touch on some tricky, on some hard issues. But after I finished, so many people came forward and just said, I now understand what the Bible says and I am free. Not because of free anything I said, but because the word had set them free, because Jesus came and set them free in Jesus' name. So first thing we must know is that marriage is a covenant. Now, today we're going to do something a little bit different. Maybe it's what you're used to. I am super dyslexic. I see it as my superpower. So if anyone comes up and says, you need healing, I don't need healing from my dyslexia. I love it because I get to think outside the box and I don't have to read so much. So that being said, today what's going to happen is my wife is going to read some of the scriptures and some of the points because you don't want to hear me read it because it's going to annoy you more than it's going to annoy me. So let's read this first passage here in Matthew chapter 19, 1 to 9.
When Jesus had finished saying these things, he left Galilee and went into the region of Judea to the other side of the Jordan. Large crowds followed him and he healed them there. Some Pharisees came to him to test him. They asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason?" "Haven't you read," he replied, "that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, 'For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh.' So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." "Why then," they asked, "did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away?" Jesus replied, "Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard, but it was not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another woman commits adultery."
I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another woman commits adultery. Wow. Now, reading the text there in black and white, it seems very black and white. The only grounds for divorce is sexual immorality. And if you marry someone else after that, you've then committed adultery. Now we read that scripture, got very quiet in here all of a sudden. When we read that scripture, it seems clear on the outside exactly what Jesus is saying. But today, because this is the scripture I read when I went through my pain, and I was like, oh my gosh, you know, my hands are tied. And many ministers, many pastors, many churches, many organizations actually pushed me to the side because their interpretation of this scripture was on the surface level of exactly what it is in black and white. But we got to understand that we live in 2025 and the scripture doesn't change. Amen? The scripture doesn't change. The Bible doesn't get more liberal. The Bible doesn't get more soft. The Bible is the Bible. The Word of God is eternal and it stands forevermore. Amen? But what happens if a partner is a part of a relationship with domestic violence, whether it be physical, verbal, or emotional? What happens with financial neglect or manipulation, spiritual abandonment or coercion, emotional cruelty or degradation, spiritual abuse or manipulation? What happens if you don't love them anymore? What happens if you find someone better? What happens if your husband doesn't clean up after himself and you've got to the end of yourself? What happens if she just doesn't get you the way the secretary does? These are 2025 questions. These are people, when people come into my office, they're asking these questions every single day. Jesus doesn't avoid the subject. Instead, he goes for the heart of the subject. When they question him about divorce, Jesus says, "At the beginning, the Creator made the male and female. The two become one flesh. What God has joined together, no man can separate." Jesus didn't enter into their argument directly. Jesus says, "Listen, you're missing the point. you're looking for a loophole on trying to get out of a marriage. I'm telling you that it's all about the covenant that you made. I'm telling you it's all about this, that God made the male and female. God is the one that has brought you together. God is the one. What, let no man separate it. Jesus doesn't enter into their argument. God is a God of covenantal love. God is a God of eternal love. God is a God that when covenants are broken, God's heart breaks. If you've been part of a marriage that has fallen apart, can I tell you today, God's heart breaks for you. There is no condemnation. His heart breaks for you. You are not your label. You are not a divorcee. You're someone who has experienced it, but that is not the label that you need to wear. You are not your sin. You are not your brokenness. You are not your past. You are free. You are a new creation in Jesus' name. Amen? Jesus doesn't enter into the conversation. He rather points to what they are missing, that God is a God of covenant. And the Pharisees were looking for a loophole. Moses said we could do it, so can we do it? You say we can't, but Moses says we can. Who's right, the law or you? This is the argument that they were entering into. Jesus says, that the Bible says that we are one flesh, that we are one story. This is found in Genesis 2 verse 24. Matthew 19, we see it. Now this word one is a beautiful, beautiful word. It's the word ached. Everyone say ached. You've got to have the ch. Ached. Turn to your neighbor and say ached. This word is used in Deuteronomy. This is the word oneness, where God will create them one. This is the same word that God uses about himself. It says, the Lord your God is one. The Lord is one. Jesus prayed this incredible prayer. Lord, let them be one as we are one. Let them be ached as we are ached. Let them be bound together. Like we are, our relationships in church, oh, this is scary. Our relationships in church are supposed to be that of the Trinity. Let them be one as we are one. Our relationship with our wives, our partners are supposed to be ached. They're supposed to be one, like bound together, inseparable. Marriage is not a convenience. Marriage is not a contract. It's not something you can enter into and enter out of lightly. The Pharisees were looking for loopholes. They were looking for ways that they could divorce their partner. It's a covenant. You don't just sign a piece of paper. When you stand at that marriage altar, you say, I give you me. Not I give you, you know, I give you everything I have, you know, that we're coming together and what's yours is mine and what's mine is mine. When we come into relationship, when we come into marriage, we come into it with this mindset of I give you me. I give you everything that I am. Can I tell you that's what Jesus did for us? I give you me. Jesus is our bridegroom. He has said to us, I give you me. At the moment, the church is in this time of betrothal. One day, we are all going to sit around that wedding feast table and we will become one with our Savior. God is calling us into relationship. On that day, your vows were given. They weren't just terms of agreement. They were terms of trading lives. This is the power of marriage. This is the power of making a covenant. It's not to be entered into lightly. It's not a contract that you just sign and then you can just get out of it because you don't like it anymore. It's a contract. It's a covenant that you make with one another. Now, what's really important to know is the debate that was happening at the time of Jesus. There was a big debate happening about marriage and divorce. Right around that, you can go into historians. Josephus talks about it. Different historians talk about this debate. This debate that was going around. In the Old Testament, there's very few scriptures that talk about divorce. They take this scripture. The Pharisees were saying, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason?" Because this is what it says in Deuteronomy, that you can get divorced for any reason. So they're coming to Jesus and saying, is it right for us to get divorced for any and every reason? Quoting Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 1. It says that if a man finds something indecent with his wife, he can divorce her. This is what it says in the Old Testament. And so you have two schools of thought that came out of this. Actually, let's read it, Brooke. Let's read it.
If a man marries a woman who becomes displeasing to him because he finds something indecent about her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce, gives it to her and sends her from his house, and if after she leaves his house, she becomes the wife of another man, and her second husband dislikes her and writes her a certificate of divorce, gives it to her and sends her from his house, or if he dies, then her first husband who divorced her is not allowed to marry her again after she has been defiled. That would be detestable in the eyes of the Lord. Do not bring sin upon the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance.
Wow, heavy. So this certificate of a divorce, the Hebrew word is the word get, G-E-T. Everyone say get. A certificate of divorce is a get. When the Pharisees came to Jesus, they were saying, when can we give a get? When can we give a certificate of divorce? Because Moses said, for any and every reason. Moses said, if he finds anything indecent about her. So the conversation at the time was, what is the classification of indecent? Now, you've got two schools of thought. You have two rabbis at this time. One's name was Hillel and one was Shammai. These were the two rabbis. Now, when Jesus was a teenager, these two guys would have been the main rabbis at the time, Hillel and Shammai. And many of the Pharisees fell into either one of the camps. Hillel had one way of thinking and Shammai had another way of interpreting the law. You read this book, in Jesus' day.
In Jesus' day, the rabbis argued over the meaning of Deuteronomy, where a man could give his wife a certificate of divorce if he found in her something indecent. Rabbi Shammai taught this phrase referred only to serious sexual immorality, making divorce very limited. Rabbi Hillel argued it could mean almost anything displeasing to the husband, even trivial reasons like burning a meal. This, any cause, divorce became popular, leaving women especially vulnerable. When questioned, Jesus rejected both schools by pointing back to God's original design in Genesis, covenant oneness that man must not separate.
So one of the rabbis was saying, for any reason, if she burnt the dinner, if she's not aging as well as he'd liked, he could give her a divorce based on this scripture. Now we laugh at it, but this is actually what was happening. They found something, I don't like that about her. The law says I can divorce her. This is how they're interpreting scripture. The greatest, and we look at how both of them would interpret the law. So Shammai, when asked what the greatest command is, he would say wholehearted devotion to the law. Wholehearted devotion to Torah. If you were to ask Hillel what the greatest law is, he would say to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind and soul, and to love others as yourself. This is the greatest command. So when Jesus said that, he was actually quoting another rabbi. He was quoting Hillel when he said, what is the greatest command? Jesus was saying, I'm siding with Hillel on this one. When it comes to divorce, it looks like Jesus is siding with Shammai on his side of the argument. We look at both of these things. Jesus is all entering into a cultural discussion. Now, a cultural discussion right now is immigration. A cultural discussion happening right now is nationalism. If Jesus was today, or Jesus is today, but if Jesus was to enter into this argument, Hillel would have a side and Shammai would have a side. So we're looking at Jesus entering into a conversation. Again, we must read the Bible in context. We must look at things and hear things the way that the original hearers of Scripture spoke about it. So this word that trips us all up is sexual immorality. The only reason you're allowed to get divorced is for sexual immorality. Now we have two Hebrew words mentioned in this Scripture. We have mocheh. I've been practicing this. I Googled it. We have mocheh, which is adultery, straight out adultery. Mujer is adultery, and it's a very narrow meaning of the word. It is just the meaning of adultery, sexual adultery. And then we have this word porneia. Now, porneia is where we get the word that we have now for pornography. Porneia is a wider term used in the Septuagint, which is the Old Testament written in Greek. And the word porneia means, and I want you to catch this. This is so, so, so important. Porneia is covenantal unfaithfulness, including adultery, including anything that breaks the covenant of a marriage. Now, to a Jew, breaking of a marriage is not providing food and shelter, not providing financially, abuse, sexual abuse, all of those things that I mentioned before. Porneia was a much broader word, a much broader term. Now, let's read Matthew chapter 5. This is Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus speaks about divorce. And let's use the words that Jesus used. Let's have a look at that. Matthew 5, 27.
You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery, mohia, adultery, which is narrow. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, porneia,
which is wider
for covenantal betrayal, makes her the victim of adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery.
So the word that Jesus uses here is porneia. In our Bibles, we see just sexual immorality. In the original context and the original way that Jesus said it, he used the word porneia, which is much broader, about covenantal unfaithfulness. Now, what happened at around about 400 AD, they were translating the Bible from Greek into Latin. Okay, so this is all Augustine and all of that era. And so they interpreted, I think, about 390 AD, and then about 400, Augustine puts out this decree or this letter and talks about this word porneia. And he narrows this word to only mean sexual immorality. Before Augustine, the word porneia was much broader. Does this make sense? The word porneia was much broader and meant any sort of covenantal unfaithfulness. Let's read this next paragraph.
Augustine later narrowed porneia to mean almost only adultery. In the 4th century, Augustine changed how the church read Jesus' words. He translated the Greek word porneia into Latin and narrowed it. In the Septuagint, porneia meant covenant betrayal, unfaithfulness, even spiritual prostitution. Augustine reduced it to mean only carnal sin, only the sexual act of adultery. That view dominated the Western church for more than 1,500 years. The result was tragic. Men and women trapped in marriages of violence, coercion, abandonment, or abuse were told they had no biblical grounds for freedom. Their pain did not fit Augustine's narrow category. But Jesus was not giving us a legal checklist. He was giving protection to the vulnerable. His word choice was deliberate. Porneia is bigger. It names every betrayal that shatters covenant when love, safety, provision, and faithfulness are denied.
So biblically, porneia points to any betrayal that breaks covenantal faithfulness. Ongoing sexual immorality, abuse, abandonment, and control, manipulation. Now, let's read again that first scripture that we read in the light of these new verses that we now, or these new words that we know from Matthew.
Some Pharisees came to him to test him. They asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason, something indecent? Haven't you read, he replied, that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife and the two will become one flesh, echad. So they are no longer two, but one, echad, flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Why then, they asked, did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away? Aget, allowed due to covenantal unfaithfulness. Jesus replied, Moses permitted you.
Okay, hang on, stop there. In verse 7, it says Moses commanded us to get a divorce. Jesus then in verse 8 says Moses permitted. So they're reading the scripture and they're saying, no, Moses commanded us to get a divorce. They're using scripture as a weapon. They're using scripture to find a loophole to get out of stuff. Divorce was never commanded. Divorce was never agreed upon to say, this is what you must do. It says Moses permitted it.
That's right.
And why did he permit it? Keep on reading.
To divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. But it was not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality, porneia, which is covenantal betrayal, and marries another woman, commits adultery.
So there we have it. The reason we have divorce is so rife in our community, and it's so rife going on right around our world and our churches and everywhere. And the church is, the church statistics on divorce are just as high as the world. Just because we have Jesus doesn't mean that our relationships aren't fixed. Amen? We still go through hard times. We still go through trials. But for so many years, the church and people who have been divorced have been put through, honestly, so much condemnation because of divorce, because of betrayal. And people have been caught in these marriages and stuck in these marriages because the church has said it only because of sexual immorality. But this was not what was said by Jesus. He said anything that is covenantal betrayal. Jesus goes straight back to the beginning and says, guys, you're missing the point. It's about the covenant that you made before God. Don't look for loopholes. Remember the covenant. Remember what you said before your partner. Remember the heart in which you said it for, that it wasn't a contract, but this was a covenant that you made before God. We need to come back to the table. If you're going through a hard time in your relationship, if you know someone going through a hard time in their relationship, invite them back to the table to seek restoration. You see, divorce is permitted. It's not expected. Divorce is permitted because of the hardness of people's hearts. When covenant is truly broken, marriage is so hard to come back together. Marriages are so hard to be restored when hearts are broken because one person has disconnected completely. That heart has become so hard, and that's why Moses permitted it. Because God can't work with a hard heart. We have all been guilty of some way of having hard hearts. Look at the context in the scriptures of Sermon on the Mount. What is Jesus talking about? Your heart, your heart, your heart, your heart. Get your heart right before God. The church must hold truth and mercy together, not separate. The whole Bible is about defending the weak, extending forgiveness, and proclaiming hope. Jesus' message was about hope for the broken. When the lady caught in the act of adultery, the Pharisees brought her out and said, we need to stone her. Jesus says, he that is without sin, cast the first stone. She was obviously guilty. Obviously guilty. She was caught in the act. Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. Today, if you've been divorced, if you've been broken, if you've been betrayed, if you were the person that caused the divorce, your sins are forgiven. Here it is. Go and sin no more. Have the fruits of repentance today.
That's right.
If you're the one that's causing brokenness and betrayal in your marriage, here's a word from God. Stop it. Repent before God. Come back to the table. I remember when I was going through my divorce, we had a counseling session. It was locked in our diaries. You know, I had to send a calendar invite to it because we weren't talking. And I remember going into the counseling session and sitting there, and she didn't turn up. So I'm sitting there with the counselor. I've driven an hour to the counseling session, and here I am sitting there with the couple that are counseling us, and I'm sitting there by myself. Not that I'm greater or whatever, but one person had decided not to come to the table. What can you do? God can't work with someone that has shut their heart off to reconciliation. If you've been the victim of divorce, there is healing in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've been the perpetrator of divorce, you're the one that's caused it, you're the one that's causing the divorce, there is restoration and forgiveness in Jesus' name.
Amen.
But there needs to be repentance. There needs to be a softening of your heart. Amen. And a coming back to the table. Religion says you are broken and you are labeled. Jesus says you are forgiven and you are set free.
Come on.
Come back to the table. Divorce was a concession for the broken. It was a concession for a broken humanity. It was a concession for broken covenants. It was never meant to be a loophole to get out of it.
That's right.
Are you with me this morning?
Yeah. Yep.
Jesus comes back to the point. I'm going to ask the band to come up. Number five, grace in the rubble. Grace in this broken life. In Psalms chapter 34, it says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those with a crushed spirit. Can I tell you, when I went through my divorce, I held on to this scripture. There was one moment where I had an ear operation. I got this thing called surfer's ear, and they literally take your ear off your head, they put it on your cheek, and they drill out the ear canal, so I'm bones close. And so I'm like, it was a bad moment in my life. My wife had left me the day before the operation. And I'm like, I don't know who's going to pick me up. I don't know. I'm just like, I'm rattled. I don't know what's going on. I come out of it. They've got me on 100 milligrams of Tramadol or something. And I would be in and out of, you know, getting healed and, you know, trying to get my ears sorted. And I would wake up and I'll go, oh, thank God, it's all a dream. And then I would realize that it wasn't a dream. And I would just weep before God. I was staying at my parents' house and I was like howling, crying, broken. Just like, God, you know what? I gave God lip. I told God what I thought about him. I've given you my life. I've given you everything. I've said I'm going to serve you. I said I'm going to do this. I'm going to do everything for you. And this is how you treat me? So angry at God. I didn't lose my faith, but I'd lost hope. And I got brought back to the scripture, this scripture right here, whereas God is for the brokenhearted. He's for the crushed. He is for those that have gone through the trials. The woman caught in adultery, the woman at the well who had multiple marriages, becomes one of the greatest evangelists to go and save a whole city. Can I tell you what? God hates divorce, but he doesn't hate divorcees. You know why God hates divorce? Because God was divorced. God's a divorcee. Let's have a look in Jeremiah.
God hates divorce because he is divorcee. I gave faithless Israel her certificate of divorce and sent her away because of all her adulteries.
You heard a sermon last week about Hosea. There was a picture of Israel and God, where God was like, this is how you're treating me. Unfaithful. You've broken the covenant. God hates divorce because God knows the brokenness of what divorce causes. He knows the brokenness of what you're going through in your life. So finally, if you've been through this, if you know someone who's gone through this, can I give you an action plan? Number one, fight for it. Fight for your marriage, which means dropping your own pride, becoming humble, seeking forgiveness from others. Number two, and this was huge when it came to actually getting a divorce in Jesus' time, you weren't allowed to get a divorce unless you actually had three rabbis approve of it. For today, speak to good men and women of God. Don't just go off on yourself and say, I'm getting divorced because of this, this, this. Speak to good counsel. Speak to the elders. Speak to your pastor. Speak to good people who know what it is and know what covenant really means. And see if there is a way for restoration and healing. And if there's not, do what you need to do. But God is a God that wants good counsel around you. Number three, come back to the table. Don't run away from the hard stuff. Number four, find healing. Number five, forgiveness of others. Forgiveness is not accepting covenantal. It's not accepting what happened to you. It takes one person to forgive. It takes two people to restore. You're in control of forgiveness. Forgive. And let God be the God who brings about restoration because of humility. The next one, forgive yourself if you're the one that's caused it. Next one, this is a big one for me. Block out the haters. People with an opinion about how you should live your life. You stand before God alone. Block out those who try to bring condemnation. Next one, be restored regardless. If not together, then individually. Let's read this last passage.
Jesus does not offer cold legalism. He offers clarity, compassion, and truth. Marriage was always meant to be a hug, a sacred oneness reflecting God's own unity. Yet we live in the tension of broken promises and painful betrayals. For the one who stayed faithful, there is no condemnation. For the one who broke covenant, there is a road of repentance, not rejection. God himself, though grieved, gave Israel a certificate of divorce and yet still pursued her with tenderness and hope. Jesus doesn't weaponize scripture against the wounded. Instead, he restores the weight of covenant while protecting the vulnerable.
Amen.
You are not disqualified because of divorce. You are not forgotten in your pain. He sees, he knows, he calls us back to the table to grace, to truth, and to healing. Whether your marriage is restored or your soul is being rebuilt, hope is not lost. God redeems what man discards. His story for you is not over. Keep walking with your eyes on Jesus.
This church is a place of healing, forgiveness, and restoration. His church is a place of hope, a place of freedom. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation, caveat, for those that are in Christ Jesus. Get your heart right with God. And I tell you what, when your heart is soft, God can do miracles in soft hearts. Where betrayal has been done against you, forgiveness brings down so many barriers. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed in this place. Now I know this message would have spoken to so many. I'm just going to pray a simple prayer over you today. And for those that in their spirit have got clenched fists, stop white-knuckling your faith and start to release into God's hands. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you're a God who forgives, who restores. But God, your heart is, what you said in the word is, this was not the way it's meant to be because I made them one. Lord, I pray for hard hearts that you would soften them. Lord, for those that have been the victim of divorce where the partner has walked out, Lord, I pray that, Lord, forgiveness and hope and freedom would be their portion in Jesus' name. Lord, for those that have been the perpetrator of the divorce, who have caused the divorce, I pray for restoration and healing. And Lord, that hard hearts would be made soft again in Jesus' name. I thank you for your word. Let it bring conviction, hope, and no condemnation in Jesus' name.